welcome to the Ted Brower Show. We were trying to get Ted on the show. He's at the airport right now getting ready to leave for Germany, but I guess he couldn't get his Skype to work properly. So it'll just be me with you guys tonight for Sunday night here. So I have a few good articles. I was hoping he was going to be on the show so he could, you know, go into a little bit more stuff if he had any other add-ons that he wanted from Friday's show with the Hagman Show, which was awesome. But it'll be just me. So hope you guys have a safe weekend. Be in prayers for the people up north right now in the Great Lakes, Midwest area, South Dakota, Michigan. They just got bombarded with a massive dose of snow. It looks like they're getting up to 20 inches or more in some places. The Chicago International, they canceled almost 250 flights. A lot of people are snowed in. They didn't know it was going to be quite that heavy, but, I mean, it happens up there, so it wasn't unheard of. But apparently they said they have had more snow in the Midwest. It's its heaviest recorded number snowstorm for almost 100 years. So that's pretty significant. Anyways, in new studies that have come out now that we're looking at here, which are pretty exciting, we've been talking about this repeatedly. You know, you can't really say the word cure or cancer, anything like that, obviously, for liability reasons. So we don't ever even attempt to try and say that we do that, because we don't. But they've actually found now scientists at Cornell, Tufts, and other institutions have conducted a study in which they successfully killed cancer cells in mice with a supplement that's also used to cure the common cold, and that would be high doses of intravenous vitamin C. They said they have more than half of human colector cancers carry either CRAS or BRAF mutations. That's their spelling form, K-R-A-S or B-R-A-F. And what happened is they report that the cultured CRC cells harboring the CRAS or the BRAF mutations are selectively killed when they're exposed to high levels of vitamin C. This effect is due to the increased uptake of the oxidized form of vitamin C, the hydroascorbate, via the GLUT1 glucose transporter. So using a cell culture, the research team dosed the cancer cells within the test subject rats and found that the diseased faction soaked up the vitamin C's and the accompanying metabolites, essentially killing the affected cell in the process. And we've talked about this before as far as it's really good for the immune system.
There's still I'm here. How's my signal?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, apparently the Skype's not going to let me hook up at the airport, but I'm only going to have about 16 minutes to spend with you, then I've got to catch a flight. But I wanted to bring one thing really quickly to everybody's attention. We just found out that the Baltic Dry Shipping Index has plummeted to an all-time low record at 504 at one point on Thursday. I've done numerous stories on this, but this dramatic slowdown in global trade, but I didn't realize that things had gotten this bad this quickly. Not even during the darkest moments of the last financial crisis did the Baltic Dry Index drop this low. Something doesn't seem to be adding up, because the mainstream media keeps telling us that the global economy is doing great. In fact, the Federal Reserve is so confident in our economic recovery, they are getting ready to raise interest rates. Well, I don't believe that for a second. I personally believe what's going on with this, Austin, I think they're printing so much money up, just like the Weimar Republic did. They're continuing using their plunge protection team to do what they need to do as far as keep the stock market intact. Otherwise, I think the stock market would have already, this is exactly what they're doing with gold and with all the other commodities. They're constantly just printing more and more and more money to their member banks. Plus, remember, these banks have put trillions of dollars into the static fund of their banks, into their savings, during this whole crisis, the last 8 or 9 years. And I believe they're using all of this money to maintain this illusion that the economy is doing okay. But just look at the price of oil. I looked at diesel fuel today. It was $2.15. That just keeps falling. It's already sitting around $40.40. The price of oil collapsed just before the financial crisis of 2008. The same pattern is happening again. And look what's happening in commodities. The Thomson Reuters core commodity CRB index has plummeted to the lowest level that we've seen since the last recession. It's now more than 30% down, over 30% of the last 12 months, and it continues to fall. So don't be fooled by this temporary stock market recovery that we've witnessed. The underlying economic fundamentals continue to decline. We are entering a global deflationary recession, and the stock market will get the memo at some point, like we saw in 2008. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I heard something about the Baltic Dry Index. I had no idea that was actually at an all-time low. I know it's been dropping significantly lower every single month, but an all-time low of all time, that's pretty significant, man. We're definitely starting to see a serious issue with the economy, but nobody's wanting to talk about it, like you said.
I know. This is crazy. Now here's another gun control group. This is out of Breitbart, and it says, in the wake of November the 13th attacks, that all assault weapons, whatever that's supposed to mean, need to be banned, and they call assault pistols and assault shotguns as well, which is insane to me, because if these folks in Paris had been armed properly with concealed weapons permit and trained properly, they could have stopped this. But they're trying to say now that they want to take all guns away from everybody, and this is more and more of the same rhetoric out of this administration, out of the globalists. What do you think about that, Oz?
Well, yeah, I touched on that a lot on Friday. I went on a little gun tirade. But you have to understand that, I mean, there's an almost a billion firearms in circulation right now currently worldwide. And so if you essentially take away the firearms from the law-abiding citizens, the people that want to do, you know, harm to other people are not going to follow orders or follow laws. They're simply going to keep their weapons. And I had quoted a Democratic congressman from Australia who basically said Australians are completely at the mercy of criminals now. They have no weapons. They turned them all in, and it was the biggest mistake they have ever done now, and do not follow their footsteps. He absolutely said, do not follow. And he's a Democratic congressman in Australia, and he said, don't follow us. It was a horrible mistake.
Well, look what Trump is doing now. Trump's straight calling out President Obama. He said he's not going to stop with just a handful of Syrian refugees. You know, Obama wants to bring in hundreds of thousands, not millions, according to Trump and these guys at Breitbart. He said Trump added on the show, which airs on Sirius XM Patriot Radio, Channel 125, that Obama is a bad president because of all of this. Then he goes on to say, you know he's not going to stop. He's got 60 or 65,000. You know he's not going to stop, Trump said. This man is so bad. He's such a bad president. We have so many problems in our country, and now we're having to worry about ISIS being on our shores. But the way we already have tremendous numbers of people that are ISIS or ISIS-related already in our communities. I mean, this is absolutely insanity that's going on, and the United States government is allowing this to happen. And Obama said as long as he is a president, he said this just the other day, it came across on Fox News, that he will continue to bring in as many Muslims as he possibly can. And the sad part about this is he's not joking. And he's already said that he will override and veto this bill that the House has already passed, stopping this immigration without massive, massive background checks already.
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, I was going to touch on that as soon as you mentioned it. On Wednesday, he said that the Republicans already had that bill to basically stop all this, put it to a halt, and if anything, massively increase the screening procedures that are happening. And he said that he'll immediately veto it if they try anything. And what's crazy is the missing Muslim refugee that was out of Louisiana that fled to Washington, D.C., they found him finally. And upon further investigation now, they discovered that this poor, underprivileged Muslim refugee has actually been a terrorist as recently as 2013, working for the Al-Nusra Front, one of the better organized Islamic terror groups in the Middle East. And the guy went missing like 2 days after he arrived in Louisiana, and they couldn't find him. They couldn't track him because they said it was against his constitutional rights for them to track him down, which that was total baloney. He was probably another false flag boy, and they got too much publicity, so they had to go and pick him up.
You're probably right. In fact, here's another article. It says the U.S. food safety experts are suing the Food and Drug Administration over allowing GMO salmon approval for human consumption. This is from Sustainable Pulse. It says the Center for Food Safety today announced plans to sue the Food and Drug Administration to block the agency's approval for sale and consumption of genetically engineered Aqua Advantage salmon developed by Aqua Bounty. The suit will be filed in coordination with other colleague plaintiffs. The fallout from this decision will have an enormous impact on the environment. The Center for Food Safety has no choice but to file a suit to stop the introduction of this dangerous contaminant. The FDA has neglected its responsibility to protect the public. In approving the Aqua Bounty transgenic salmon, the FDA ignored millions of Americans and more than 40 members of Congress who have expressed vocal opposition. The FDA also neglects the concerns of more than 300 environmental, consumer health, and animal welfare organizations, salmon and fishing groups, and associations. And what's happened here, the salmon basically is dried up. It's pretty much non-existent right now, according to the research that I've read, and out west in Seattle, up in Alaska. I really believe that Fukushima radiation is doing an unbelievable number on the salmon spawning population. So what they're doing is they want to introduce this new species into the population of existing salmon. If they do this, it's going to be an environmental disaster, because these guys are, what's left of the salmon, are going to start breeding with this other salmon. We will no longer have a pure species of salmon left in the Pacific. This is an ecological catastrophe that's taking place right in front of our eyes as far as fishing in the salmon industry. And it's unbelievably bad. Of course, the FDA, the Foolish Drug Administration, the Drug and Dumb Administration, whatever you want to call it, is going to constantly be doing stuff like this as long as we give them the authority over us.
Yeah, it's insane. I touched on it pretty heavily on Friday, because they just passed it. FDA just approved it on Friday about this GM, this genetically modified salmon. And people don't understand that. I mean, there's way more, you know, long-term side effects than we even know possible with genetically modifying fish, especially fish, to where it, once it's introduced in the water population, if it gets there, there's absolutely no way to control any place that it goes. I mean, the oceans connect, if they haven't noticed lately. So, I mean, this isn't one of those things where they're going to introduce salmon into, you know, one little area of the world, and it's not going to eventually spread everywhere. And we don't know what's going to happen to other animals that feed on these GM salmons. What's going to eventually happen to them? Everything's going to start being completely contaminated with genetically modified organisms, and there's no telling how far this could go as far as dramatic impact on the ecosystem and on the health of the population of the world.
You're absolutely right. Here's another article: the beginning of the end for the Affordable Care Act. The largest U.S. health insurer may exit Obamacare. This is a stunning revelation, because after all, the Affordable Care Act was largely drafted by the insurance industry itself, and for whatever reason, it itself was unable to capitalize on Obamacare. This has been a big, huge disaster. Today we got confirmation of this when none other than the U.S. biggest health insurer, United Healthcare, cut its 2015 forecast earnings with a warning that was considering pulling out of Obamacare, just 1 month after saying it would expand its presence in the program. According to Bloomberg, United Health Group would scale back marketing efforts for plans it's selling this year because of under the Affordable Care Act, and may quit the business entirely in 2017 because it has proven to be more costly than expected. Imagine that.
Yeah, we've touched on Obamacare a lot. Total charade that is. So I'm not surprised anything, but it's been an abysmal failure.
I've only got a couple more minutes, and I got to catch this flight, but let me read you this one. Former drone operators say they were horrified by the cruelty of assassination program. The Intercept: U.S. drone operators are inflicting heavy civilian casualties and have developed an institutional culture callous to the death of children and other innocents. Four former operators said at a press briefing today in New York, the killings part of the Obama administration's targeted assassination programs are rising terrorist recruitment and thus undermining the program's goal of eliminating such fighters. The veterans added drone operators refer to children as fun-sized terrorists. I'm going to repeat that. The drone operators have been taught to refer to children as fun-sized terrorists and liken killing them to cutting the grass before it grows too long, says one of the operators. Michael Haas, a former senior airman of the Air Force, Haas has described widespread drug use and alcohol use, said some operators have flown missions while impaired. Well, I don't doubt that. It's like these strippers in these strip clubs. Half of them are stoned when they strip. And the reason they do that is because they don't like what they're doing. They hate their life, and they're basically having to stay drugged in order to continue in that life. And that's what these guys are doing. They're basically mass murderers, and there's a huge, huge fallout from these guys. And they're almost all of them are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome when they get out because of the innocence they've taken. So they have to try to marginalize and say they're cutting the grass. It's really just, it's almost unbelievable, Austin, that they're like this.
It is pretty sad. That definitely is a rough job, but I mean, everybody's understand they signed up to do this. So, I mean, if they want to continue down that road, it's their choice. Nobody's forcing them to do it.
No, that's absolutely right. Here's one of my final story, and then I've got to jump on an airplane. There's a caught on tape Russian Air Force destroying dozens and dozens of ISIS oil trucks. This is from Zero Hedge. According to Russian General Staff spokesman Colonel General Andrei Kapotov, around 500 fuel tanker vehicles transporting illegal oil from Syria to Iraq for processing have been destroyed by Russia air forces. In recent years, the Islamic State and other extremist groups have organized the operations of the so-called pipeline on wheels on the terrorists they control. Kapotov continued, adding that just in the first 2 days, the Russian aviation has destroyed 500 fuel tanker trucks, which could greatly reduce illegal oil export capabilities of the militants and accordingly their income from oil smuggling. Also, I want to thank all the listeners. We've had an overwhelming response from the Hagman show that we did on Friday night. And I want to go ahead and extend to everybody who's listening to the show now, if you didn't hear it, to go ahead and listen to the show. And we're going to extend the coupon to you guys tonight. It's going to be a Thanks 2015. It's a 10% off coupon on everything at Health Masters, excluding a couple of specials. And it's basically why supplies last. We don't have the ability. In some cases, we have been backordered on inventory for months, and we can't get it from our suppliers. I have no idea why. This is only why our inventory lasts. It's Thanks 2015. We've got nothing but good response from the talking about the blood of Jesus and how it actually works from a physics standpoint from that show on Hagman. And it's just a show that you guys got to listen to, and we'll be airing it, repeating it again on this on our show on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday this week. But I want to come to you live with Austin tonight from the Tampa airport. And thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. And Austin, I got to sign out for the night. You're going to continue on the show by yourself. But remember, we love you guys, and I appreciate you guys, and I'll talk to you in a bit, Austin.
All right, bud. Have a good flight, and I'll talk to you tonight or tomorrow.
Thanks, bye.
All right. Well, he has signed out now. He will be wheels up here shortly. So, anyways, back when we were discussing one of the refugee that basically was found in Washington, D.C., was another interesting aspect now is, you know, Obama has said to the Republicans or anybody that doesn't want these Islam, you know, jihadists coming here to America, that they're afraid of the widows and children because of their opposition and bringing terrorists into the country. Well, the thing about it was this refugee was a male. He was neither a widow nor a child, and he was, you know, basically war age, and now they've linked him back to being involved with the Al-Nusra Front. And so what's funny is the, you know, Obama is basically, if he's saying he's only bringing back widows and children, then he's obviously lying. And my next question was, a few people have asked me, they're like, how is it, if he landed in Louisiana, how in the world did he make it to Washington, D.C. that fast? I mean, that's a Louisiana. We're down here in Florida. You know, Washington, D.C. is a little bit of a trip. You know, unless he flat out hitchhiked all the way up there, which is pretty doubtful considering how cold the weather is. And secondly, most people are a little hesitant right now to pick up hitchhikers that, you know, basically are Muslim. You know, whether that's right or wrong, you know, I'm not going to say. But definitely you have to be a little concerned about that right now. And what's interesting is that evidence by a recorded phone call published by Liberty News about a week and a half ago now has come out detailing exactly what basically us, the taxpayers, provide these Syrian refugees. And this is the quote they said. Every refugee, this is on the phone, you can listen to this online, says every refugee receives a sum of money from the government that's welcome money. It's $925 per person, which is a one-time welcome sum, the organization employee tells the caller they're on the phone with. And that's only the beginning. Then she goes on to rattle off a laundry list of services offered to including refugees intended to make them self-sufficient and independent, including being picked up from the airport, shuttle service from the airport, finding and securing an apartment. So they're finding and securing them housing. Once they find them housing, they set up the apartment so it's livable. And what's crazy is the employees, says volunteers help by setting up the apartments. The organization gives the volunteer a Walmart gift card to buy all the items needed for the refugee's apartment. Then they provide them bus orientation or bus passes, which is basically, you know, free transportation via bus. Then they transport them to the Social Security office to apply for the card so then they can apply for all the social welfare aspects that that state provides. Then they also go to help them find employment, and then they provide 8 weeks of English as a second language class, which I appreciate that one. However, I highly doubt any of these guys are actually taking that class, maybe a few of them. And it's funny, they try to help them find employment because once they get a Social Security card and they have no job, no income, then they can apply for any type of social welfare program and go on EBTs, food stamps, you know, anything they need will basically be supplied by the United States government for free after they give them almost $1,000 in cash per person and they give them an entire apartment with it being very livable. this is beyond generous, guys. I mean, this is way more than what's even needed for this. And secondly, we're not just bringing back widows and mothers and children anymore. They're obviously bringing back full-grown adults that are linked back to terror fronts, as I just mentioned a minute ago. So, I mean, we've already found, they've already arrested Syrian refugees with stolen passports in Honduras. There's already been in Mexico, as I mentioned that earlier. There's multiple places now that are finding these guys. And, I mean, I don't want to get into this too far because it's just too negative, and it gets old after a while. We know what's going on. Another story, this one's not a whole lot more positive, but it just, I like to keep everybody awake on what's going on, especially with law enforcement, and sometimes they overstep their boundaries significantly. And like I said, I have a lot of friends that are cops. They're great. Some of them are not, though, and a lot of them really do not need this position, and a lot of them need to be in jail. In Spring Lakes, North Carolina, you know, we need to pray for a family over there. Three children now lost their father last Sunday a week ago after deputies from the Harnett County Sheriff's Office looking for a different man shot and killed him. And deputies began knocking on the man's door at 3:30 a.m. as they were looking for someone who no longer lived in the home. When deputies asked Livingston if they could search his home, he said not without a search warrant. Livingston then shut the door, having a man assert his Fourth Amendment right to secure in his property was apparently too much for the deputy to handle. The deputy basically came back, kicked in the door, got on top of him, started beating him. Multiple cops came in. Then they pepper sprayed him and they deployed tasers on him. And they basically said that he was, at that point, resisting arrest and assaulting an officer, which is the part I love. They kick in your door, jump on you, and now you're resisting arrest. And so as it escalated during the struggle, Livingston apparently tried to remove the taser from the deputy's hand because the deputy kept tasering him repeatedly. So the officer dropped the taser, drew his weapon, and discharged it multiple times. Livingston died at the scene from multiple gunshot wounds. And these stories like this need to go viral. People need to put these out to everybody and let them know this is not acceptable behavior. And the officer involved has been placed on administrative leave so far and pending investigation. Majority of the times when this stuff happens, nothing happens. They either go on administrative leave and come back, or they're, you know, discharged, whatever it may be. But when stuff like this happens, guys, everybody needs to know about it. Everybody needs to be talking about it to our congressmen, to our local representatives, and let them know this is not the way. Sheriffs who are there to serve and protect. That was the original motto of the police department. They were there to serve and protect, which that obviously has changed significantly now as we see. So this is just something everybody needs to keep an eye out and understand what's going on. There was a thing that I mentioned back about 2 weeks ago on a different topic with the United Nations. Most Americans are obviously too busy to even worry about the United Nations. Nobody catches this. The United Nations has put out a thing called Agenda 21 a few years ago. Now, we've talked about it a few times. If you already know about it, awesome. If not, I'll give you a little synopsis on it so you guys have an understanding of what's going on. The agenda consists basically of proposed regulations that have been years in the making. This goes way back. And what they do is they essentially strip individuals of their freedom while asserting centralized control over private property and essentially people. The provisions amount to population control and reduction in certain areas deemed ripe for sustainability. That's a word you hear all the time from them, sustainability. They also have control over local and national economies via the regulation of carbon emissions and other mechanisms of pollutants. The globalized central control over the financial decisions of businesses, especially landowners. And Agenda 21 is just, it's completely and totally totalitarian. It's about taking everybody and putting it together for the collective good, making all the families in the country move into pockets of high-density population areas in 400 to 500 square foot apartments, essentially basically making you, you know, you live right beside your work, and that's it. You know, no commute, no rural area, and they want to take all the area around this rural area and keep it for themselves. But the crazy thing that brings me to this point is the United Nations along with one of its main goals now that it's come out with recently, and the World Bank, by 2030, they want to provide legal identity for all, including birth registration. And this goes on to a global identity management via biometrics. This is a lot what we've talked about before as far as the... Now, I don't know if this is necessarily going to be referred to as the mark. I mean, I don't know how all that's going to work. You know, there's a lot of speculation on that. But this could very well clearly be something that we see in the next 15 years as going down that road. So just be aware of it. Now, also, too, you guys heard about Belgium. They pretty much went into lockdown recently. I'm not 100% sure if this was really legit or if this is more of a police state flexing its muscles on a global scale now, trying to increase the threat of terror. What happened was in the aftermath of, I think it was Thursday night, Friday or Saturday night, warning of an imminent terror attack in Brussels, when the crisis center and the government raised the country's terror alert to the highest level. Today, the escalation continues, and the Belgian capital looks not only like a ghost town, but something out of Call of Duty war zone, after authorities shut down the metro and warned the public to avoid crowds because of a serious and imminent threat of attack. And the reason, they said, for this dramatic escalation is that chemicals and explosives were found among the items during a police raid in the Vanderboom Street area in the immigrant neighborhood of Molenbeek, a rundown area where Paris attacker Alban Hamid Abdallah was suspected of operating the terrorist cell. Now, this could very well be a very legitimate situation that happened. And I mean, if they did, there's a lot. They handled the situation. You know, they neutralized it before it escalated. But also understand, guys, that this is just ripe for false flag. You look back and read about Operation Gladio. Do some research of that, man. Look exactly what happened with it, because that was a serious, serious, serious false flag operation. It actually was a whole multitude of false flag operations. And so when you see stuff like this, and then you see them completely lock down the city, and I mean, you can look at the photos online. I mean, it's full-blown military lockdown. They have their European version of the MRAPs, their open personnel carriers, military walking down the street in body armor, you know, with machine guns, a lot of them wearing ski masks and masks over their face, probably because it's too cold right now, but also, too, because it's a very intimidating look to have somebody in a ski mask with a machine gun and body armor ordering you around. Definitely makes you a little bit hesitant to really do anything. So if that was a situation that really occurred, then I'm glad they prevented it. If it's not, then, well, everybody needs to just keep their eyes open and definitely understand that false flags do occur. On another note, sadly, we've come to expect attempts as far as on Christianity, Christmas, other, you know, Christian holidays that we celebrate, like Easter. We see it repeatedly. They're constantly trying to basically water it down as the fear they might offend, you know, the perpetually offended, people that just are offended about everything. You tell them the sky is blue, they say, oh, no, I'm offended you said that. It's purple. It's stupid. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so now, as sad as this is, the Department of Veteran Affairs has now banned employees at its facility in Salem, Virginia, from saying Merry Christmas to veterans. Now, we've seen that quite a bit. It's all across the U.S. now, Walmart stores. Any place you go now, everybody says Happy Holidays. And I always refer back to them as Merry Christmas. You know, have a blessed New Year. But what's even crazier is the ban also included Christmas trees. Federal law recognizes Christmas as an official federal holiday and provides federal employees with a paid day off to celebrate the Christian belief in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Now, they're basically the executive leadership at the Salem VA Medical Center has now banned Christmas trees as well as other Christian speech and celebration. So, every year, the White House Christmas tree, Capitol Christmas trees, you know, they grace those buildings. They will not be there this year. They have banned them, as I guess they fear they're going to offend the Muslim population that's coming up in the United States, which is just nauseating to me. But it's quite sad now that this is what's going on. I mean, and quite frankly, if you look back at the rituals of the Christmas tree and stuff like that, that's not even something that's really based as, you know, from Christmas, what we celebrate with that. But the idea of that they're basically saying they can't have any type of Christmas trees or Christmas speech or Christmas celebration, anything that promotes any religion at all. The public areas may only be decorated in a manner that is celebratory of the winter season. I mean, where have we come now as an America, guys? I mean, have we really gone this far now that we're so concerned about being politically correct? We refer to it as the winter season. Really? I mean, Christmas, you know, the birth of Christ, that's what it is. Now we refer to it as the winter season. We can only have celebratory emblems representing the winter season. Just like when you go by the high school banners now. They never say, they used to always say when I was younger, have a great Christmas break, you know, and the little signs and stuff outside of high school. Now what does it always say? Have a safe winter break. Always. Always says winter break now. And, you know, it's happened progressively, really slow to begin with, and now it's happened so fast, and now you look back and you're like, where did this come from? Where, how did this happen so fast? How did we lose all this? How did it occur to the point now that we can't even have a Christmas tree, which really isn't even a Christian symbol? It's just a symbol of Christmas with a tree. You're saying that now they can't even have that in the VA Medical Center? I mean, it boggles my mind. I mean, it's almost as crazy as saying now that we want to allow GM salmon to be introduced into the population. It's just crazy. And another thing about the, you know, the GM salmon that we've discussed about before is the fact that if the population is introduced, what's going to happen to actual normal salmon, even if they don't breed with them, if they cannot breed with them very often, or only, you know, genetically modified salmon can breed with other genetically modified salmon, what's going to happen to the food supply? Because if the genetically modified salmon grows to full size for what they are, full market size in 12 to 18 months, and regular salmon takes 3 months, you obviously know that the market salmon or the GM salmon is going to be what takes completely over. There's a lot of aspects of genetically modified food that nobody understands, and I've did a lot of research this weekend and pulled up some really interesting facts about pretty much all GMO food, and I wanted to share it with you guys to let you know, I even learned a few things on it. That, I mean, this is not a joke anymore. This is getting completely out of control. And the fact that they're allowing GM salmon to be basically just grenaded onto the U.S. population without even labeling it. The FDA is not even requiring that it's labeled. I mean, how stupid is that? So you're not even giving people the option to see if they want to have anything that's genetically modified fish in it. You know, Monsanto said, oh, GMOs, they're safe. They can help feed the world and save lives. However, over the last 20 years now, scientists have brought forth repeated challenges that this is not true. This is completely, actually, opposite. GMOs have a negative impact. They have all kinds of health problems. Here's a few ones for you guys. 91% of Americans now, in a poll, are stating they want GMO labeling. Not GMOs banned, but 91% unanimously say they want GMOs labeled. Everybody's supposed to have a choice. You know, I was talking to the producer earlier in the show, and we were discussing how, you know, Florida is not an open carry state. It's a concealed carry state. Now, if you're going fishing or hunting, you can open carry. And the idea behind it is kind of ridiculous because, I mean, most of the time, most people don't open carry in general. When they go out, you know, public or go to the mall, people that carry that are wise, which most people that have a firearm that carry legally are fairly wise, and they know that, you know, usually carrying concealed gives you a better advantage in the event you need to draw your firearm. If you have to draw your firearm and you have an open carry holster, if somebody breaks in, if somebody goes in to rob, if somebody is basically there to cause harm to another human being, and they see you have an open carry, you know, Glock 19 or Glock 22 on your hip, you immediately are going to be the first subject to be targeted in the room, hands down, because there you're going to be the greatest threat. But when you have that concealed weapon, nobody knows you're carrying it. You look like a normal dude with t-shirt and jeans on, so it gives you that edge. But what I was referring to earlier is that when they say you can't open carry, then it makes me want to open carry because I don't like being told I can't do stuff legally with my firearms, not when there's like 35 other states that allow open carry. It's really ridiculous. We've had a lot of legislation down here, and they're pushing really hard this year to get open carry through. Like I said, it's not because I would really hardly open carry at all. I mean, you can already open carry on your own property when you're fishing and hunting. It's just the fact that I don't like being told I can't open carry legally. It's against my right. Completely violates my Second Amendment. Last time I checked, I didn't even see a concealed weapons clause in the Second Amendment, nor did I see anything about open carry clause in there. So that's just a side note. But anyways, that leads me back to the issue of 91% of Americans want GMO labeling, not necessarily because they're completely against GMO foods, but because people want to have a choice. I want to know if there's GMO in my food. I want to know if I'm eating GMO salmon. I like salmon. I don't want to eat genetically modified salmon. It's disgusting. I don't even know what it's going to do to people. I mean, they haven't even done human trials yet, really, to any significant degree to figure out what is going to happen, the long-term effect of eating a genetically modified animal. I mean, this is bizarre. They should have been working on this for the next 20, 30 years to see if this was even going to be a sustainable option. I mean, this is not good. This is not something that I would ever endorse. Another one, 64 countries around the world, including Japan, Australia, China, and the entire European Union, require GMO labeling. 64 other countries require it. By law, you have to put contains GMO foods on the package. America doesn't. Imagine that. Now, in September 5th, 2015, a couple months ago, we also talked about Russia now has completely banned the production of food using GMOs. This came after the country undertook independent scientific research of the GMO issue and found it's super toxic. People don't need to eat it in our country. It has no health benefits. It hardly does any better as far as yields because of long-term effects and what it does to all the crops around it. So we're going to ban it, and they did rightfully so. Another one is because the pro-GMO lobby pushes its own research that contradicts the conclusion of independent studies on GMO safety. You heard that right. You obviously see that. You see these GMO lobbies, they send out research that contradicts the conclusion of independent studies. These independent studies have nothing to gain or lose. They're there to say, hey, try this out, let us know what happens. There's no bias. It's either A or B, C. Doesn't matter. Whatever happens, happens, let us know. They come back. Yeah, glyphosate's super toxic. GMO's super toxic. We've had clinical studies for that. Then the pro-GMO lobbyists come out with their own research and say, oh, no, that's not true. That research study they did is bogus. Really? Because the pro-GMO lobbying groups only have one motive, and that's more money. They want to push more Monsanto GMO garbage down everybody's throats. A study published in the Turkish Journal of Biology in December 2014, associates GMO corn and soy consumption with several health complications in rats, including DNA damage, abnormal sperm, blood changes, damage to the liver, kidneys, and testes. That's awesome. So it messes up your DNA, messes up your sperm, messes up your liver, your kidneys, and messes up your testicles. That's great. Let's just eat more GMO food. That just sounds like a great idea to me. Give me a break. They also, this is one I did not know. They did a study a little ways back. They took pregnant goats and fed them a diet of GMO soybeans. And the GMO goats, which understand goats, I mean, they eat anything and they can handle anything. They have like iron guts. They think poison ivy is a delicacy. They eat anything. And these goats that were fed GMO soybeans, they were found to produce less nutritious milk and give birth to offspring that grew slower and shorter. So they have less milk that's produced less nutritiously, and their offspring slow and short. That's horrible. That's absolutely horrible. That right there should be just a profound epiphany to everybody to realize you don't want to eat joint GMO anything. It's horrible. Also, too, because genetic engineering of food can trigger allergic reactions to GMO substances. This is a huge one, guys. This is what we see all the time now with phone calls, with people that come in, is Crohn's disease, you know, the colitis issues, the colon problems, the gluten intolerance. Listen, everybody in the world has been using gluten and wheat for thousands of years without problems to it. Thousands of years. Nobody's had problems with gluten and wheat. Stapled most people's diet for thousands of years. Now all of a sudden everybody's allergic to gluten? No, it's because the gluten's getting sprayed down. The wheat's getting sprayed down with glyphosate before they process it. So all the gluten's contaminated with glyphosate. All the bread's contaminated with glyphosate. And now they're even showing, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that organic wheat and organic products now actually can show positive for GMO up to a very small percentage and still get passed as non-GMO because their tolerance now is so... Everything's getting infected with this GMO plague. It's like a cancerous sore, and it's spreading throughout the entire country. Like I said, 64 other countries banned it. Russia completely banned it this year. I mean, 64 other countries, required the labeling. A lot of them have banned it as well. Russia has completely banned it this year. That should say something to everybody. Everybody, we got to start lobbying these guys. You got to start telling them we want GMO stuff banned. We want it banned. We want it labeled, and we want it banned. Banned is the best part, but at least get it labeled so you know what you're eating. Like I mentioned earlier, the GMO crops are contaminating non-GMO agriculture through cross-pollinization and polluting the genetic integrity of crops for many years to come. This is what I discussed with the salmon earlier, that's a very serious problem that could start happening. Now, also, too, GMO cross-pollinization has resulted in financial hardship and difficulty for farmers who wish to grow crops that are non-GMO or organic. Because remember, GMO seeds are patented. They are owned. It's not like a normal corn seed that you pull off a corn stalk that's non-GMO. That's patented food you're eating. That's how toxic it is. They can actually put a patent on it because it's genetically modified. If that GMO food is introduced somehow, whether by nature or man-made, into a natural non-GMO organic farm, if Monsanto or any of their little crony boys that like to go around and search people's yards, like the FDA, find that you have GMO seeds or a GMO plant that sprung up in your non-GMO, crop field, they can sue you. They can sue you and take everything you have and completely take over your farm, because their GMO corn somehow got transferred over to your non-GMO field, which obviously if you have a non-GMO or an organic field, you don't want GMO corn there. So why would you possibly do it on purpose? You wouldn't. But this is all part of making the entire GMO scheme come together as one. Another one that's definitely gets a lot of people's attention is they have found GMO corn be nutritionally inferior to non-GMO corn in terms of vital nutrient content. And I've talked about that numerous times. It's how poor quality our food is in general. In general, organic food is already much, much less nutrient dense than it used to be 30 or 40 years ago. Now you're throwing GMO corn in, and they showed here that one assay found that non-GMO corn is 437% richer in calcium, 56 times richer in magnesium, and 16% richer in potassium. Now, this is corn. Corn does not have really a significant nutritional value to begin with. It's pretty much a simple starch. But now you're saying that the non-GMO corn still has this much higher amount of these minerals in them, meaning the GMO corn has basically nothing. And also, too, what's also crazy is that the Grocery Manufacturers Association, the GMA, who represents food giants including Pepsi, Congra, Nestle, Kellogg, has spent tens of millions of dollars in lobbying again in efforts to keep Americans from knowing if their food contains GMOs. In an apparent attempt to undermine the total democratic process of our republic, this group, the GMA, sued the state of Vermont in 2014 after it became the first state to require GMO labeling. My question is this. This is my question to people that are always pro-GMO, the complete and total morons on this planet that are pro-GMO. My question always is to this. If GMOs are so awesome, if they're so safe, if they're so beneficial for mankind, why does anybody care if they're labeled? As far as, why would you care if you labeled it, this contains GMO? If it's healthier for you, if it's safe to eat, if it's better for mankind, if it's good for the population, wouldn't that be a good thing to label it non-GMO or to label it, this has GMO in it? Wouldn't people say, oh yeah, that's a good idea? Of course it would be. But they know, they've seen the research studies. They've seen what glyphosate does to mammals. They see all this stuff. They know exactly what it does. But they have to increase their net worth of the company. They don't want to lose any more money, and they want to infect everybody with the GMO toxicity that's basically spreading across the country. Because the domestic production of corn, which accounts for about 90% of all corn grown in the United States now. This is why I tell people on the phone all the time, if you're not getting 100% certified organic non-GMO corn, do not eat it. Because there's a 90% chance all of it grown in the United States is GMO. 90% of it in the United States is GMO. So this really hurts farmers in the United States who could otherwise capitalize from growing a demand for non-GMO corn. I mean, it's really, really an issue here. Glyphosate, as we know, has been identified as a health hazard for decades, yet nothing has been done to curb its production, which is interesting to me because there's the article in here. The Permaculture Research Institute states that Monsanto and the European Commission have known about birth defects since the 1980s. Industry studies found statistically significant skeletal or visceral abnormalities as well as reduced viability and increased spontaneous abortions in rats and rabbits exposed to high doses of glyphosate. Lower doses were lower shown to cause dilated hearts. The European Commission dismissed all these findings. And now, but at least the European Union calls it it's labeled. At least it's labeled so you know if it's on the label, hey, it says GMO, put that back. We're not buying it. I'll spend the extra dollar to get the non-GMO organic and keep my organs and my testes healthy, because that's obviously, it needs to be a priority. Now, glyphosate may no longer be as effective as a weed killer either, a lot of studies are saying. Glyphosate has been shown to give rise to super weeds, which is even worse. They're resistant to the chemical and therefore highly problematic for even farmers now. Glyphosate exposure has been linked to numerous birth defects. Also, evidence shows that glyphosate may contribute to Parkinson's disease, which we don't need any more of that right now. That's already a significant issue in the United States. Glyphosate also severely damages the kidneys. In 2014, the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health published a study linking glyphosate runoff in Sri Lanka's water system to an epidemic rise in a fatal unknown chronic kidney disease, or CKDU. Also, too, this is an issue with the honeybees. Now, if you guys have noticed, we did live down here in Florida. We have a lot of honeybees down here. Well, we did have a lot of honeybees. There's not that many around anymore. Even the farmers there, you know, that have the honeybee colonies are having a harder time keeping these guys alive. And a research study found that Monsanto's Roundup herbicides are contributing to the decline of the honeybee population. In 2014, in August, Mexican beekeepers in the state of Yucatan won a victory to halt Monsanto's plan to plant thousands of acres of Roundup-ready soybeans. After a careful review of the science, a Mexican judge ruled that GMO soy agriculture is an economic threat and incompatible with the state's honey production, home for 25,000 families involved in producing 40% of Mexico's honey exports. The ruling is having a rippling effect across other Mexican states involved in honey production. And so there's just more and more stuff on and on and on. I mean, there's all kinds of other articles I found out when I was searching this weekend on, you know, research with Monsanto and glyphosate and all the problems that it basically ends up causing and all these animals that basically they tested on. Another one here, too. Research demonstrates that DNA fragments from GM foods can actually enter the human bloodstream. Considering the health risks posed by GMO foods are still not well understood, this is extremely troubling. Also, too, an increase in GMO consumption in the United States coincided with a rise in health issues among the U.S. population, according to Jeffrey Smith's Institute for Responsible Technology. Listen to this. Numerous health problems increased after GMOs were introduced in 1996. The percentage of Americans with three or more chronic illnesses jumped from 7% to 13% in just 9 years. Food allergies skyrocketed, and disorders such as reproductive disorders, digestive problems, and others are on the rise, along with autism. Well, we know why the autism's on the rise, as I discussed earlier with the on Friday. I went into detail about a lot of the vaccines that are being forced upon the American population without will or want. I'm trying to force mandate these vaccines, and I tell people, you have a choice, man. Go down to your local health department. Get a religious exemption. Tell them all to kick rock. You're not getting shot up with stuff you have no idea what's even in it. And what's crazy, too, is the digestive problems are, it's insane how much we've seen that skyrocket. I mean, it's literally probably quadrupled, I would say, in the last 4 or 5 years that I've really been working with customers. It just seems to get worse every year. Like, almost everybody I talk to has a digestive issue now. And it's all stemming back to the GMO foods. Nothing else has changed with digestive systems since the 90s. That's what nobody understands. It's not like everybody just got sick all of a sudden and started having digestive problems. This is a significant problem with the GMO food introduction. This is why we want it labeled. This is why we actually want it banned. But first, the first step is getting it labeled. So do everything you can, guys. Convince people, teach people, show people GMO foods are completely and total garbage. I won't even feed my dogs GMO food. Most of the, and that's another topic for another day I'll bring about later. But if you're having all these health problems with your dogs now, which I get phone calls on that all the time, stop feeding them GMO crap. I was at Sam's the other day, and there was a huge bag of dog food. It was like 55-pound dog food for $19. $19 for 55 pounds of food? Looked on the first ingredient. Hydrolyzed corn protein, corn soluble protein, corn, ground corn meal. Like, the first five ingredients were all corn, which obviously you know those are 100% GMO corn. They're not putting organic non-GMO corn in $19 a bag dog feed that's 55 pounds. If you're having issues with your animal, if you're having issues with your pet, if they're not putting on weight, if they're having digestive issues, if they're having insulin problems, they're having growth problems, look at the food they're eating. There's a couple really good ones out there that do really good job of producing really good stuff. Now, granted, they're all not going to be, you know, certified non-GMO, but when you start seeing stuff like that, I always stay away from rice, corn, wheat. I try and keep that out of dog's diet. I got two blue nose pit bulls. They're incredibly well behaved. They're extremely friendly dogs. Had them for a year and a half now. Got them when they were brand new puppies. And they're awesome, awesome animals. Guys, it's been a great show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, Ted and I will be back on with you guys Monday, and then Tuesday, hopefully, he'll be back on. He should be giving us some information from what he's seeing in Europe. He's en route right now. The plane, I think, just took off a few minutes ago. So that should be a blast. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy the Hagman Show from this Friday night, and if you need any questions, give us a call up. We'll be open all week except for Thanksgiving. The show's been brought to you by HealthMasters.com. We appreciate you guys. Thank you.